Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
Good afternoon, Mark.
We're back together again. We've been on Zoom the last couple of times.
That's right. We hadn't been in person.
No.
But we've been talking to people from across the pond, and so that was worth it.
That was fun. He really appreciated that, too. I talked to him after, and it was he really enjoyed doing that, too.
So good.
It's good. So today, I thought we would talk about decisions, good decisions, bad decisions.
Okay.
We've been reading through the Proverbs at church and talking about wisdom, and it got me thinking about maybe the difference in the way I make decisions or some decisions that I've made that were not good and some that I've made that were good, maybe. There are way more.
Those are harder to find, I know.
They really are. Yeah.
Wisdom should help you or should kind of cause you to think about decisions because really ultimately decisions or wisdom expresses itself in decisions.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to be a wise person, you're going to make good decisions because you've, have essentially the framework with which to make those decisions that comes from wisdom. So,
yeah. Yeah. And then from decisions come consequences, either good or bad. So it's just by nature. And I just thought maybe we could talk about some of that today. And
okay.
So one of the first one, I just thought about decisions that I made based on where I went to church and what was expected of me when I went to Followers. And one of the things that I have that have really bothered me, a decision that I've been really embarrassed about for a long time, was when my grandma died, she had a son who did not go to Followers anymore. He left Followers. So my mm-hmm. uncle, and I didn't even want to let him know that his own mom died. Like I was on the team of he made his choice, he left us, he doesn't even deserve to know that his own mother died. And I was outvoted. Luckily, I was outvoted. Oh, there were okay.
There were cooler heads prevailed, huh?
Or louder voices, or something. But yeah, what we came to an agreement on was we'll let him know, but we'll make sure he knows he's not welcome to be at the funeral, and that's what we came to. And it just breaks my heart that that's what I wanted at the time, that's what I thought was expected.
Well, or did you think it was the right thing? Or did you even then like, oh, I'm doing the wrong thing, but I know it's the thing I should do or something?
Yeah. Honestly, at that time, I think I based right and wrong on what I thought was expected of me by like how to keep my status.
So you did think you were doing the right thing?
I thought I was doing the right thing for me and my family. It's selfishly, I thought I was doing the right thing. But I don't think I even thought about actual right or wrong.
You didn't think about it in terms of right and wrong.
I don't think I did. I think I just thought about what would be the best for our family, what would make us look the best to the rest of the church.
So would you say it was like political decision kind of, or that's not the right word maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way, I think that is the right word. It's, it would have made people uncomfortable if he would have shown up at the cemetery for the funeral. Whether that's right or wrong, that's what would have happened. And I knew that. And then people would have talked. There would have been discussions about why is he here? Why did the family want him here? Like all this stuff would have been being talked about. And I just wanted to avoid all that. I wanted to make sure everyone knew that we didn't go along with anyone who left followers, and we didn't want him here. And that's just where I was at the time.
Okay.
And, but the consequences to that, was just that the embarrassment of it, like what I'm still, I live with that still today, that I felt that way. Like that's not a good feeling to have done. Plus there are consequences on my uncle's side too. The feeling of knowing that your family doesn't want you there. You're an embarrassment to him. Like I caused or was part of causing that kind of pain for him, which I didn't give a single thought to at the time. And then I just, the other consequences, I did not represent Jesus well at all.
Well, you weren't trying to, were you?
I wasn't trying to. I wasn't trying to. But now I know that that was, anyway, that was one of the...
Well, that's your evaluation now.
That's my evaluation now.
And see, I think that's, you know, in some respect, the it's hard to pin consequences on that particular decision. You don't, you know, you're looking back now and you don't like it and you're embarrassed and you can evaluate it as not the best decision. But as far as, you know, as far as consequences go, this sounds maybe crass, but those seem like consequences. It's not like you rode your motorcycle over a cliff.
Right.
You know, that the ability to predict that decision is going to have terrible consequences. So in some respect, you got off easy, maybe with her consequences.
Yeah, I did. I think maybe the consequences would have been felt more harshly on my uncle's side, like the consequences for him.
That's probably true.
Based on my decision or being whatever complicit to the decision that was made. But the other one that I thought of that is a bigger one is the decision to exclude Cindy's dad from our lives when he left. The decision's made already, but I, again, that's the side that I decided to be on. I didn't say, hey, wait a minute, why are we doing this? Or I didn't question it. I knew this is what's expected. You excuse it even by saying that this was his choice. He knew this what would happen, and he forced our hand.
You sort of spun the decision a little bit.
You spin it and say, you left me with no choice.
I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah, and I knew then that that isn't
well.
Right.
I think if you want this to be about wisdom, I mean, one of the planks or elements of wisdom that I would say is that you always have a choice.
Yeah,
and you are responsible even for conditions that you don't enjoy.
Right.
You're at least complicit with some of those. And so there, I think that one of the things I would encourage people to do is take a high level of responsibility for, not to feel overly guilty or anything like that, but recognize you have responsibility and you have agency, and you are not at somebody else's whim to make decisions and then look back on them years later and regret them.
Right.
You know, you can, at the moment of the decision, say, I am a responsible moral agent and I will make the best decision possible. And I think, you know, a lot of times some of these things come on you kind of fast, you know, oh, we got to decide tonight.
right.
or in the moment. And really, you know, if we could just figure out how to take a breath
yeah.
and do some thinking, what, you know, what would my future self wish I would do in this moment? And yeah. think in terms of giving your future self a gift when you think about your decisions. I think that would be really helpful. And it's not easy to do.
No.
I mean, I've said some things, thought some things in the last, I'll give myself 24 hours to make sure I include several, you
right.
know,
right.
where it's like, if I go public with that thought,
yeah.
I'm going to regret that. And that's a long-term thing.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I wasn't in the moment of decision when I did that. So taking a little pause is,
yeah.
I think, a helpful strategy even for some of these things.
Yeah, and as you say that, I think that is really good advice. And a lot of times, there's so much pressure from the outside and the expectations that others have for you to make not the right decision, but the decision that they think you should make.
Well, let me just say, I've heard you talk about a lot of your decisions. We've
yeah.
been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And you have reflected to me not so much the pressure that comes on you from the outside, but the pressure that you put on yourself on the inside, yeah. thinking about, you know, trying to maneuver or figure out what other people expect of you. And so anytime when you have your eye on other people,
yeah.
that is a recipe for not making the best decisions. I'll just
yeah.
say that.
Yeah, for sure. And that brings up the point that I knew this decision was wrong with Cindy's dad. I knew that it was wrong. I was so concerned with everybody being pleased with me that I even wanted him to be pleased with me too. And so I remember getting the family together and saying, we need to have a talk with Cindy's dad and explain to him that we're happy to be a part of his life again if he will just come back to followers. So I thought I was doing something good by offering the conditions by which I would
love and accept him.
Love and accept him. And I thought I was doing something good by doing that. And that was another bad decision of mine, but just the consequences that come from that, the pain that he must have felt from mm-hmm. that, the time lost. It was 27 years that Cindy was separated from her dad. And we've, by the grace of God and a lot of grace on his part as well, we've reconnected and got to spend some time together. We have a little trip coming up together even.
Oh, good.
We robbed him of relationship with children, grandchildren, but not only him, we robbed our children of a relationship with their grandpa too. Thinking we were doing it for the right reasons, it was just so unnecessary looking back on it. And those consequences they're big ones. And
so let me just ask you this question, because, you know, people do things I don't like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're talking about a decision that you ended up, I mean, really your two things have been you cut people off
mm-hmm.
because they made decisions that you didn't like. Okay.
Yeah.
I just said that happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And so, my thought is, under what conditions would it be okay to like impose sanctions or say no, and or you must come back for us to be, you know, right with each other or whatever? Now, I'll just spare you. You're looking like, oh dear, he's really putting me on the spot. Let me just give you, I think, my rubric on
okay.
that, because I am thinking about that some, even with family members.
Yeah.
And some of it has to do with why I would do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's to get even, that's a bad reason.
Yeah.
If it's to, you know, look a certain way in the eyes of other people, that's mm-hmm. a bad reason. If it's somehow to coerce or pressure or manipulate, that's probably a bad reason.
Yeah.
It seems to me, though, that there could be, and I don't think yours were, I'll just be clear about that, but I do think there's a sense in which you could really have a hard conversation with somebody, let's say it that way, because you love them.
Yeah.
And because you want the absolute best for them. And see, one of the things that haven't heard you say is that that was some of the motivation underneath it. You've regretted it in that you did love them and they're gone. And there was this regret, but, you know, acting in somebody else's best interest, I think is what I'm, again, maybe part of the wisdom that I would hope for people is just to say, let's, you know, make sure we're acting in somebody in the best interest of the person that I'm dealing with, rather than my own or rather than even the communities or whatever. I mean,
sure,
we lose things all the time, lose people all the time, really. And
yeah,
things hurt us all the time.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I'm definitely coming from this saying that I made these decisions for the wrong reasons, for sure. Like there weren't. Well, let me. So you talked about wanting what's best for them. Like maybe that would be a good if you're wanting what's best for them, or for their own best interest.
Mm-hmm.
All I knew at the time was what was best for them was to go to the followers' church. That's their only chance to go to heaven. That's their only way to be connected to God. That's why my family's do. I'm on the other side of this now.
Right.
Right.
Like some of the reason I'm bringing this up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm on the other side of this now, and my family is doing this. They are separating from me. I think in their minds for my best interest. They believe that if I see what I'm missing, and I look back and want to come back and be reconnected to my family, they would probably offer me the same thing that I offered Cindy's dad. If you'll just come back to church, you know, they haven't said that because I think that they know that that's not in the cards. But I do believe that if I wanted to go back to followers, that I could reconnect with my family and we could have that. I think the same conditions. And I think that they think they're withholding themselves from me so that I will come back to followers to reconnect with them.
Mm.
And
that's hard. That's really hard. Yeah.
It feels, as I was thinking about it today, getting ready for this, it really feels like, it feels like the torture that you would see in the movies. Like just, it feels like you're beating the guy until he will give in. We'll stop hurting you if you'll just do what we want, if you'll just tell us what we want to hear. I think that's what I was doing with Cindy's dad. I mean, not physically hurting him, but it's terribly
painful.
That's
the way that's used, the way it's used.
Yeah, and to get them to come back. And there's a verse, I can't remember where it's in, that they would cite even sometimes, that you want to provoke them to jealousy, that you want them to and come. And I'd have to look it up, and but I know that was part of it. But they think that there's even biblical backing for why you withhold things from people so that they will get back on the right track, which all that means is go to followers, you know, attend the one right church. And so it's, it's tough, but
sounds tough.
That's why they say that you're the one, like my family would say I'm the one that's caused the division in our family because I chose to leave Followers. And they would say, you knew this was going to happen, so this is your choice. And yeah, I just know now, like, that's not what love is. That's certainly right. Not what the gospel teaches. That's not, very fortunately for us, that's not how Jesus loves us, is conditionally, if you'll gain my favor, then I will love you, you know.
If you'll behave.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and people don't know what to do. When you're in a church like that, and Followers, we've talked about it for a long time now, it's not the only one like this. It's not the only one that separates from family when they leave. But when you're in a church like that, where that is the expectation, and that is how you're judging what's right and what's wrong, is by what our group of people believe, then you're going to end up with bad decisions and terrible consequences.
Right. So. And see, some of, again, good decisions, especially in a really tense situation like this,
yeah,
is being able to trust God to bring it around.
Yeah.
See, I mean, all throughout the Proverbs, there has been, an invitation to somebody to be wise and to understand that they don't need to, inflict vengeance, for instance,
right.
Because God will do that, and you have to be able to trust that God will do that. And I think that's one of the things that I've come to, even in some of the things that are hard for me, is that, you know what, I'm just going to have to trust God with that, and I could take my pound flesh. I could, I could make this miserable, but my making it miserable isn't the wise way either, I guess. You know what I mean? Really, the wise way is to really trust the Lord with the person you love.
Right. So. Right. And it just feels like, such an unnecessary hurdle that there is in between the two sides on this. And I've been on both sides of this, and being on this side, I can just see how unnecessary it all was. And it just led to so many bad decisions on my part that I would love to be able to convince people to not be a part of a group that causes, or at least be strong in that. Don't make your decisions based on the expectations of that group, is, I guess.
That's probably good advice.
That's the better way to say that, probably. But it is hard. It is hard not to, because...
Yeah, and I think, along with it, don't make your decision based on the group. I think the other thing is really, give thought to what are the consequences of this. I mean, I didn't love it. It wasn't very lovable. But when you just talked about, I deprived, Cindy and my kids of their grandpa, and, it was... That's a big consequence.
Yeah.
And one that you probably didn't write down in a pro and cons list ahead of time.
No.
Because these are the things that you don't get some of these back, and you just make decisions that are that have long-term consequences that are just you don't even think about the consequences for yourself.
Right.
Either.
Right.
You don't think it through all the way. And again, we're talking about wisdom of church, and the Proverbs are really encouraging us, I think, to work those things all the way through to their conclusion rather than jump to a decision quickly.
Yeah, and there's the other side of the Proverbs too, where it's warning us against listening to folly and I can tell you that I did that a lot when I was there, because when we did make this decision, or were in agreement with the decision that had already been made, when people talk to you, they will flatter you for doing it. They will tell you how sorry they are that you had to make such a big sacrifice for the church. And it can cloud your judgment. You can believe that. You can buy into that. You could listen to that kind of thing, and it can stop you from seeing that you've made the wrong decision, because it can temporarily feel good. But I can tell you now, years later, that it doesn't feel good, you know. So it is worth not even letting somebody else's words convince you, maybe, or because they feel good at the time. Don't make the quick decision that feels good, right? Like the instant gratification right now, because it can be pretty painful later. But yeah. So I when you have this hurdle in between, it's hard for either side to know what to do. Cindy's aunt just passed away. We were very close to her, loved her very much. Our children were born at her house.
Okay.
And some of that is because of the fact that it couldn't be at Cindy's mom's house because her dad was there. And like, it was just, it's so complicated. But anyway, we loved her aunt, and of course haven't spoken to her in the last 5 years because we had left Followers. But the family didn't let us know that she passed away, just like I didn't want to let my uncle know that. So it was painful, but I understood. Like, I get it. They don't know what to do, just like I didn't know what to do.
Sorry.
We did go take some flowers, and her cousin did thank her for the flowers, and it was nice. But we wrote our names on the guest book, and we came back later when we let the family know when we would be there so that they wouldn't run into us.
Okay. These
are the kinds of things that neither side really knows what to do, but we try to make the best of it, I guess. We came back later, and they had removed, we were the only names on the page, and they had removed that so that the family wouldn't see. It's too painful, they think, for the family to see and be reminded of us, and they're already going through such a hard time, and that was not our intention when we put our names on there. I only bring that up just to say that I do empathize with the challenges in these situations, and I understand the expectations from followers, and I just want to urge people to not give in to those expectations. And we've said it already, but don't make your decisions based on those, because when you're facing the consequences, that group isn't there. You're not going to be able to find any peace just from your group being happy with you. That doesn't give me any peace of mind that I made a decision 10 years ago that made a group of people happy. That doesn't help me. So make your decisions based on what's right and what's wrong, instead of what the people around you expect to do, or what the people around you expect you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like this is a series of difficult kinds of things. And being on both sides of it, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to, and things you're faced now too, with how you be responsible on this side of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you did your best to both respect her aunt and to respect the family. And
yeah,
that's just not easy. And I'm sorry that it's so hard.
Yeah. It's challenging, but I am encouraged, and I do trust that the Lord will continue to show truth to people, just like he did to me, because I wasn't, I was no different than anybody else that's out there right now, until the the Lord made me realize that I wasn't as good as I thought I was. And I know he's still doing that for people, and I pray that he will continue, and that I have a lot of reason to hope that we'll have reconciliation in our family. Despite my terrible decision with Cindy's dad, we've gotten to reconcile
there.
That's true. And so have a lot of reason to hope for that.
I have a proverb for you here.
Yeah.
Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner with herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it.
Yeah.
So this your conversation reminded me of that.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, the hymn that I thought we'd talk about was Amazing Grace, because that's where my hope is in God's amazing grace. So we've done it before, but it says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And that's how I feel about all the bad decisions that I made, all the consequences that came from them. As much of a wretch as I feel like I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. This is just a great line. 'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And that fear is so real. I think in any group where you think you're the one right church, I think there's always fear involved with a group like that. I know it was for me, for sure. And I've talked to a lot of people who've said the same thing, that just a lot of fear. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And that's where my hope is.
It's a good place to leave it.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.